Hello there, beautiful creators. This is Kadesha King, and we are now wrapping up our discussion of Sutra 20 this week, where Patanjali has given us a pretty solid framework for discussing the nature of the mind and a state of consciousness that is the key for liberating us from the perpetual cycle of suffering introduced in the Four Noble Truths. I hope that you have been following along each week and staying up to date with your practice, because this exploration will inevitably be of immense value to you on your journey, no matter where you're starting from, or from where you're picking up, or where you choose to go from here. Samadhi, enlightenment, nirvana, Christ consciousness, eternal bliss, self-realization, Kundalini awakening, the list goes on and on for the many ways in which humans have attempted to describe the most peaceful and fully liberated state of consciousness that humans can attain in their lifetime. Teachers and spiritual leaders, communities, rogue individuals, and everyone in between have all made attempts in their own unique ways to pass on the wisdom of who we are as humans from generation to generation and from place to place ever since we started organizing our families and communities into societies where information and knowledge could be obtained and shared easily and readily amongst people, and just as easily and readily lost as well. These individuals have done this because they felt that the information was worth sharing. That even if nothing else got transferred from our ancestors about their own personal stories and histories, that we will at least have the basic manual on how to operate this thing that we call our being in the context of our bodies, and within the context of our brains and minds, and everything in between. We, living in modern day society, are fortunate to, at this time in history, possess tools and technologies that allow us to see things in ways that were unimaginable to our ancestors. Our ancestors, however, collectively in the realm of gathering information and knowledge, had the advantage of years of experience under their belt and the paradoxical look of the temporality of form working in their favor as well. These great grands of human history, knowing full well that even their songs, stories, and scrolls will all be eroded with age eventually, nevertheless persisted with passing on their knowledge in the form of mediums of expression that attempted to keep us out of the metaphorical darkness on more levels than one. We now have x-rays to see our bones, MRI scans to see our brains, machines that measure our breath and detect even the smallest atom. And each of our machines seem to verify or be verifying what experiential data gathered for ages among thinking human beings have also been trying to make sense of and understand for centuries. We, like our ancestors, are constantly trying to make sense of, explain, and guide ourselves back to who and what we truly are in our greatest expression. So we, as a species, probe, prod, look inside and dissect the body, the mind, our thoughts, and our emotions, and we attempt to measure and quantify something, anything really, that will give us an answer to a question that we may not be able to measure answers for, but certainly know deep down in every fiber of our being exists. Whenever we find understanding, no matter how small or grand, we attempt to articulate it for others to understand in the form of books, artwork, poetry, movement, through science, in songs, religion, actions, via emotions, and so forth. This, arguably, is as much a part of our history as it is a part of our nature. Patanjali wrote the Yoga Sutras after countless humans had lived and died before him and passed down their experiential knowledge and understanding of the self and what it means to be human to him. He and these individuals collectively contribute to the data on how to effectively use the full capacities of our very nature to elevate our earthly human experience to one on the level of the divine. But language, even though Patanjali went through great lengths to share this information and to try to share it clearly, like most other forms of communication, is subject to misunderstanding and misinterpretation, and when it is passed down from person to person, like a game of telephone, information can get lost. But we still try, as a species, with technicality, with poetry, with figurative language, information taken out of cultural context, looking through biases and everything else that stands in the way of full understanding. Aside from tools and instruments that one can directly measure information with, however, we only have the direct experience of knowing as our base and foundation in most cases when it comes to this area. Years and tools and cultures and geological realities have never been able to separate us from experiential truth because of the sheer determination and foresight of those who came before us, who cared enough about us to pass on these valuable bits of information with the understanding that we would truly suffer if we ever forgot. Knowing that even their fragments of an attempt to help us find our way home to ourselves is enough to activate our internal GPS. So, though we do not yet have the tools and instruments to measure all of the value of the wisdoms that have been passed down to us in the world after thousands of years of research and careful diligence to document information at the cost of generation and cultural divides and miscommunications, or even death in some cases, we all have our existence and its nature, which gives us access to understanding at all times. This is really important to recognize, because this as our ancestors have taught us is the route that recognizes that we are always eternally connected to the truth of who we are, no matter what. And realizing this and what it actually means on more than one dimension or level is truly a birthright that I agree with Swami Sachinanda, everyone should give to themselves. The final step toward asamprajnata samadhi, or undistinguished samadhi, in which one truly gets it, gets this information, understands it deeply from within for the first time, and becomes fully aware, self-aware, merged with the full presence of their being, and not just expressing self-consciousness in the ego, is defined by either full surrender and devotion into the celestial realms or cosmic connection, or through a process of inner connection marked by deep and conscious living, guided by faith, vigor, memory, contemplation, and or by discernment, according to the Yoga Sutras. There are, therefore, because a unique journey exists within all of us and within each individual context of existence that we exist within, infinite ways to connect with our truth and true self, which is the same for all of us when we are stripped of all contexts except the foundation of truth of our origin. The good news from all of this is that there's always a way of claiming your birthright that is unique and individual to you. There are endless ways in which you can find your way back to that original source, depending on who you are and how you happen to be expressed or be expressing yourself in this world. Each path's expression is as unique as the individual who it unfolds for. This means that you do not have to be some select special chosen one or do or be anything special to obtain your birthright, except to accept and be it by removing all barriers and obstacles that keep it hidden from yourself. The only thing that you have to do in order to claim the right of this birthright is to live it deeply and consistently, and to withdraw from the illusions and distortions that prevent you from having it in your own unique way, since this is the only way it will come to and through you anyway. Please, as we continue to move forward together here, remember that suffering, death, decay, destruction, chaos, and misery are all a part of life, and they show us that there is an opposite to them according to the basic principles of our universe and the Four Noble Truths. There is a beginning to suffering, but there is an end to it as well. It is only through self-realization and fully living and being that we step into the eternal and peaceful nature of our being that is always here and always present for each of us to enjoy and to draw our inner riches from at any single time or moment in time.